Ever wanted to be behind the wheel of a UPS package car? Here's your opportunity to get your foot in the door. UPS is hiring for its preload operations in Louisville. As a preloader, you'll help our drivers load their vehicles and get packages on the road and out for delivery. You'll also be able to bid on package car driver job opportunities. If you're looking for a part-time job and career opportunities, we've got a job for you. Are you ready to get on the road? Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com. Are you ready to get behind the wheel of a UPS tractor trailer? Seasonal tractor trailer drivers can earn $32 an hour. Drivers must be at least 21 years of age, have a Class A CDL with T endorsement, 2 years of tractor trailer experience, and be able to drive a standard transmission. As a driver, you could participate in team driving, in-town runs, or help at a local UPS facility. Are you ready to get on the road? Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis and Luke Hancock, right here on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis here in Charlotte for our ACC football kickoff coverage, presented to you by our friends at Goomer & Company, The Fitness Market, UPS Jobs, and Fan Outfitters by Lids. We appreciate their support. Sending me here, Luke Hancock, back in studio, throwing shade at Virginia players from afar.
Slight. That wasn't real shade. That was just, you know, a little homerism for Virginia Tech. Not that bad.
Well, you get to media days, and sometimes you can throw shade. Like, that's it's a right that people have. And this is not the only media days going on, SEC media days. It's turned into Mardi Gras now. It's all week. But Damian Harris going today for Alabama. And, Brian, if you've got it ready, let's do this. Ask a question about who Alabama's biggest rivals are. Luke, you hear that question. Obviously, the answer is
Alabama doesn't have a rival. Auburn.
Right. Well, Damian Harris answered otherwise. And I think that it is fairly entertaining, especially for Media Day stuff. Brian, if that's ready, let's hear it.
You know, Tennessee's obviously a rivalry game. We have the cigars and everything, but I would say LSU because they're so much like us. We're so similar in so many different ways. You know, efficient offenses that use the ground game a lot, have great quarterbacks with very stellar defenses that are hard to play against, and you know, we've just played very similar. So I think that it shows that every game we have against them is a close game. So I would say they're our closest rival.
Would Auburn fall third in that list?
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Well, Auburn's a given. Like, right, we'll put Auburn number one, and then take my answer for LSU. And put it like Auburn's obviously number one. I forgot about them.
That is so good because either he innocently did really forget Auburn, or that was a well delivered troll. But either way, Auburn didn't come to mind, and if the average Auburn fan, it's going to eat them up that he did that.
Oh, for sure. That's some serious shade there.
Again, like, either he messed up or that was really well delivered. But either way, man, like, you know, whatever the names of Auburn's message boards are, like, they are that thread is on fire.
I guarantee you at some point that is going to be quoted in the locker room before that game. That is a fact.
To reset things here out at ACC Football Kickoff, I just thought that was funny, especially as we've been asking guys about rivalry games. And Luke, I'm not like going to rate everybody that we've talked to today, but there's been some pretty impressive guys.
Very much so. Everybody's very articulate. They're well-spoken guys. They've got a lot of great insight. I can see why you're having a lot of fun, not just because it's, the media prom.
Yeah,
but
and
just,
it is.
You get a lot of different perspectives from a lot of different guys. I mean, think about just the different type of athletes you've had on there already, and then getting the perspective from the Georgia Tech quarterback and the season he had last year, all the Virginia guys, coaches. I mean, I can see why it's a blast.
It's also, Luke, we get to have the fun here of, and again, I'm a dork, like, especially when it comes to this stuff, but you come up the escalators here at the Westin to where, like, everything's actually going on, at the food and the entrance downstairs, you come up the escalator, they got a big display of all these mannequins with the uniforms on, and then just mounds of the media guides, which I'll grab all of them, and then I'll throw one, half of them away without ever opening them, but I'll get them all. And that's how that works. But you get finished, and you pick up all the media guides, you sit down, you start comparing them, like, all right, whose is really chintzy and whose is really good? Sometimes you get here, and like it's like they just Xerox them in black and white, like it's just a bunch of copies. And you're like, that's cheap. That's lame. And unfortunately, like, Big East Media Days, about half of them are like that. Like, this is awful. But Louisville, of course, has the one with all three guys, the three receivers, and Justify on the cover.
What's everybody else say about that? Have you talked to other, you know, media guys or even coaches or players?
Yeah, you know, no, I thought there might be jokes. But honestly, okay, that makes sense for Louisville. Right, I get it. Like, there hasn't really been jokes. It's been like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, Louisville, right? Makes sense. Kentucky Derby, I get it. Horse racing. Like, it's been, okay, that's cool. Some of these media guides, like, maybe I'll tweet a picture of it. The Georgia Tech media guy, Luke, it looks like they got, like, 80% done. Like, they picked the font and, like, a background color, and they put the header, Georgia Tech football, and then the footer, 2018 media guide. And then there's, like, a faded helmet kind of in the background. And then they just didn't put anything else.
Ugh.
It looks incomplete. Like they forgot to put the players or something on there.
Well, I would have weird. I would have definitely lost the bet that no one was giving any jokes to Louisville on Justify.
What did you think when you first heard that?
I mean, I think it's kind of cool, but I could see how other people would be like, "That's kind of corny."
I don't know if you saw this. Drew pointed this out to me. There's the Herald had an article about it, the Herald Leader. The adding Justify on that was Bobby's idea.
Really.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? That reaction that you just had, like, that's everybody's reaction. They're like, really?
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's kind of cool tying in Louisville and horse racing, their tradition there. And obviously those guys are known for being pretty fast on the field. But I don't know. I would have lost the bet to say no one would have said anything or thrown a little slight our way.
Yeah. And look, with Bobby being the guy to think of that, like, you know, it's not really like a criticism of him as much as I would have figured he'd be a guy that just did not care about the media guy.
Yeah, that would have been a dismissed question, or I would have thought it would have been.
Yeah, so a little bit surprised there. Just to, so again, reset things where we are here. We're out here, ACC football kickoff. It's 2 days. Today is Coastal and Commissioner Day. And then tomorrow the Atlantic guys are all here. You'll get the rules changes, the officiating forum where we'll all sit in a room, and the coordinator of officials, who Drew had on this morning, will stand up there and he'll show plays. And Luke, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. He will show plays and he will ask everyone if something is a penalty or not. 80% of the people in the room will say, yes, that's a flag. And then the Florida State people will be like, no, that's not a flag.
That happens every time?
Every time. If it's any kind of targeting, late hit, anything like that, like I don't know if they're just like rogue, you know, like anarchists or what, but like the Florida State media contingent, like to a man, is like, no, that's not a flag. It's amazing. Every year.
How has Taggart been so far? Have you gotten to see him or anything?
No. None of the Atlanta people are here. Like play it close to the vest. Like they're all going to get here probably late tonight, or like first thing in the morning. The people that can drive in will probably do that. But, like, Bobby and those guys are not here. Kenny Klein is here.
Of course. Working overtime.
Right? It's funny. Like, I feel like I could go watch, like, old videos from my childhood and, like, he'd be in there somewhere. You know, like, he's everywhere. He's like Gene Hackman. Like, he's in everything.
Obviously, that's not a big surprise, Kenny Klein being there working hard. Have you seen anything that where you're like, wow, I was not expecting that?
I mean, honestly, Luke, I did not think we'd be getting close to the end of Media Day, ACC football kickoff day one. I'll take to be distracted for a second. Just saw your boy Mark Berman waddle by.
Waddle by.
He's a little man, and he walks that way.
He is. Love Mark Berman.
I did not think that I would be getting halfway through our show one here, and the story of the day would be Larry Fedora. And his comments about football and the game and American toughness and military greatness being the story, I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, those seemed out of left field. Do we have those clips? We do, Brian. We have them ready.
What do we have? So, Brian, can you lay out for me what we had? Because I was on with Nikki V, and everyone was scrambling. Luke, it was actually kind of funny to be here. It was said, what he said was done in the breakout sessions where he sits at a table and bums like us just crowd around him. Jody Demling here from our competitor just told me that I'm number one. Let you guys know that. But you go crowd around them. So there wasn't great audio. It wasn't at the main podium in the main session. It was a breakout session. So we've all been scrambling to get audio of it. Yeah, so, Brian, so the scramble's could you lay out what we got?
The scramble's been on, but we do have one of his comments, which was on losing football means decline in America.
Okay, if we've got that, by all means, lay
that on. Puts it in perspective, what college sports means to people.
There will be decline of our country, there's no doubt. Yeah, I there's no doubt in my mind. I think because the lessons that you learn in the game of football relay to everything that's going to happen in the rest of your life. And if we stop learning those lessons, we're going to struggle. And, you know, I think in some ways we're struggling more now than we ever have. Are we ever going to be a perfect country? No, not by any means. And but I do think the game of football has had a major impact on who we are.
And Luke, that was the least, honestly, the least like inflammatory thing he said.
What
here? The comments there, like that's tame. That's like football coach, you know, praising football. I get that, but elsewhere,
that's a little more extreme than just a football coach praising football. The guy said America is going to just be on a serious decline if college football goes away.
But, Luke, it came at the end of football is under attack, and if football goes down, America will decline too. Like, and he followed it up by saying that football is safer than it's ever been.
That's probably true.
He had 35 season-ending injuries a year ago.
I mean, but that still is probably true.
At least from a rules perspective, yeah. I think you're probably right.
And technology. I mean, think about, you know, helmets and pads and cleats and everything. It's probably safer than it's ever been.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's dying anymore like it was at the turn of the century.
Knock on wood.
Right?
Yeah.
But he did. Then he. I think he very, very badly veered off into comments stating that no one has proven that football's under attack. No one has proven that CTE has caused there's a connection between football and CTE.
That's not true, is it?
Of course, it is true that people have made that connection. Like,
yeah,
that's a
absolutely
nutty thing to say, right? And then he basically, when asked, like, who's attacking football in the room, this is according to Nicole Auerbach, who was in the room, Josh Graham, who's Luke, you talk about an up-and-comer, Josh Graham, in North Carolina. It's a guy going places.
Yeah.
He just, like, didn't say any words, and he just, like, stared and turned his head and looked at everybody. Like, basically, like, it's you. You guys are doing this.
Just not a fan of being there.
No, not at all. And just so odd things from him. But honestly, Luke, if I'm him, if I'm Larry Fedora, I come through media days, and people are talking about what I said about concussions, they're not talking about the fact that my team stunk last year.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he's trying to do, just get a little heat off his team.
So we're moments away here from Bronco Mendenhall coming over here. He's going to get – we'll see.
You think it's going to happen?
It's the moment of truth.
Don't.
Like, he just finished up an interview, and he's going to check with his the bearded guy that blew me off last time. So we're going to see.
Oh, here we go. This is intense.
So this is like what you guys, I want you to go on the record right now. Is he going to try and leave again, or do you think he's going to come do it?
I say yes.
I think he comes and does it.
Yeah.
I think my odds are good because it's not the last day.
Right. He's not ready to get out of there just yet.
Exactly.
Or he can't.
Exactly.
I'm sure he's ready to get out of there. He just can't.
Right. So, like, yeah, I think a year ago, actually, he's sitting down at another one. So we must be way off course.
Which coach hates media day the most?
Bobby.
Really? I guess.
Yes. So. I mean, Bobby. I don't think that Paul Johnson loves it, quite frankly. To be honest with you, he was pretty jovial with us, especially by what maybe the standards of what we were expecting.
Yeah.
He was pretty friendly, but yeah, I don't think he loves it at all.
I can imagine. I've done one media day. I went to AAC Media Day that was in Memphis. And it's not the most fun thing in the world, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, what's it like for a player?
We just flew down with Coach Pitino, stayed in that hotel that's like right next to FedEx Forum in Memphis. And then you just have a day of – there's just tables set up all around. I'm sure football's a little bit different, but there's tables set up all around the floor where the actual basketball floor would be. And you sit down, and people just come up to you over and over again and ask questions. You handle a lot of the same questions over and over again. But I was surprised you asked, and I'm drawing a blank on which player we've had because we had a few on so far, but you asked if they've had a chance to kind of meet up or how media day is from the player's perspective. We've kind of chopped it up with the guys, the other players that were there and had somewhat relationships with some of those guys, and then those carried on even after basketball. You know, we were kind of taking pictures and joking and hanging out with those guys quite a bit while we were at Media Day.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're supposed to be right now with Bronco Mendenhall, but he is sitting down with another one. We'll see. Guys, I'm going to embarrass us all if they do this to me again. I'm just telling you right now. Like, they're going to be talking about me instead of Larry Fedora.
You think it's the bearded guy that you claim that he goes to that has his schedule, and he asks him, and he's like, no, we're not going to that Louisville guy.
If so, I'm going to trip him.
He said he's going to eat an animal.
I mean, I'm looking at him right now. He's talking to David Hale. This is how it started last time.
Are you just death staring the guy?
Yes. Yes.
Well, there you go.
If you want to hit the UPS Jobs text line, you can. 38-31-93-9. Not really the day for calls, but if you've got reactions, you can hit the UPS Jobs text line here today on Coastal Day out here at ACC football kickoff. It'll be Atlantic Day tomorrow. And, Luke, one thing that has been the case at ACC football kickoff every year I've been here is there's a very uneven amount of attention and energy between the two divisional days that just because of the star power, the success, the amount of media that cover teams in the Atlantic, tomorrow will be 50% bigger than today.
Oh, wow.
You know, Clemson media and the people that they will be out here in force. They're not here, a lot of them, today. The Florida State people, you know, they'll all be here. A lot of them are here today, and some interesting comments from some of them about how it's going with Willie Taggart, but they'll all be here. Louisville, obviously, a lot of people will fly in tonight from local media. And then, of course, all the people that go to broadcast journalism school at Syracuse will all be here tomorrow, too.
Well, what's it like for you tonight? Like, talk about Mark Guinness's time at ACC Media Day. What's tonight like for you guys?
So, typically what they do, and I've actually just saw them. This is really funny because I had forgotten all about it until they did this. They just wheeled one of the largest carts full of alcohol I've ever seen in my life. Right by us. And they're, you know, taking it down because they have an enormous ballroom downstairs where they'll do a huge dinner. And there will be, you know, Swafford and some other guys will talk. They'll play like a highlight video from last year and talk about some of the – it's more of a let's entertain the media people and thank them for coming kind of thing. Like the White House Correspondents Dinner, you know.
Right.
Like where it's like, now we'll entertain you.
But no coaches or players or anything show up for that one.
Oh, hell no, no. Yeah. It was, you know, you get a lot of the brass from the schools that will go in there because they do want to make friends.
Uh-huh.
You know, like they understand the value in having good relationships with the local media.
Of course.
Here's a good example. E.J. Borghetti, that's the football SID at Pitt. I've known him, you know, since they were in the Big East. Louisville doesn't play Pitt ever. They've played them once, and I don't even think they're scheduled to play them again with the current schedule all the way out to like 2026 or whatever. But every year I come here, he walks up to me, he asks me how my kids are doing, talks to me, asks me how things are going with the radio show. Like every year, and like I can't help him at all. He does that. So there's a lot of that tonight.
And that's smart. At some point you will, because look at what you're doing with having somebody from every team we play leading up to the season. That doesn't happen unless you go to ACC Media Day and you develop those relationships.
That's true. And for what it's worth, I did kind of pluck into the side. I was like, look, I know you're not the softball SID, but if Pitt even has one of those, I don't know. But tell me what you know about Holly and maybe what you know about why she decided to leave Pitt, where she was just ACC Coach of the Year and was an out away against the eventual national champ from making the tournament again. Why do you think she made this decision? And he said she's intensely professional. Like, that was the phrase that he used.
That's a good start.
Right, I'll take that, exactly. He said very high energy and intensely professional. And he said, you know, I can't tell you that she told any of us, you know, real reasons why, but he said, in Pittsburgh, one of the things we all struggle with in the basically not football and basketball is just getting traction with anyone in the city for any of, like, the non-revenue sports. You think about what's going on in the city of Pittsburgh
day-to-day.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, you going on in the city of Pittsburgh, you got to get through the Pirates, the Penguins, the Steelers, and then you've got Pitt football and Pitt basketball and Pitt women's basketball, which actually does pretty well. And then people start having some extra time for other sports. And he said he thought that, you know, Holly was really drawn to Vince, who has apparently a pretty good reputation among brass elsewhere.
Yep.
And the idea of being in a college town and not having layers of other interests to go through. If they're good, she knows that people from Louisville will go and will turn out.
That's awesome to hear. I don't know if it really affects. This is an interesting question that we'll have to ask some guys when they come on. But for me, you know, deciding on colleges throughout my career, George Mason was so appealing to me because they didn't have a football team. And so the basketball team was where you went to homecoming. It was the main show on campus. And then it was a huge draw for me that there weren't any pro sports around the city of Louisville, because that's what people want to go see and they want to go watch. And that's Louisville football and Louisville basketball, all the way down to softball and whatever other non-revenue producing sports Louisville has. Like, people come out and see it because what you said is true. It is a college town, and most people around here are really behind Cardinal.
Yeah, Luke, it's actually funny when I hear I love when recruits are like, man, I thought Louisville was like the country. I love that.
Yeah.
It kills me. Like Louisville's some sort of rural Kentucky city. But I've enjoyed that sort of thing. So, yeah, at least a little kind of a indirect insight into what she was like. She was introduced officially today, by the way. So that's done, too.
Fantastic. That's another – I mean, as far as check marks for Vince, he's gotten a lot of them so far. A guy's handled himself really well and obviously locked in so many great coaches that were already here and recruited some unbelievable talent to come.
Text into the UPS jobs text line. And again, today is just not really a day for taking your calls, but if you want to hit the UPS jobs text line, 38 31 93 9 is the number if you want to hit there. We got one text in, Luke, and I think I might agree. If you get big time by Bronco again, you have to get Bobby to take a run at him tomorrow.
For sure.
I like it a lot. And we will have Bobby tomorrow, just to give you a little bit of a preview. We'll have Bobby Petrino. We will have Jalen Smith. We'll have John Grenard. And then we'll also have Dino Babers from Syracuse tomorrow. So we'll have, you know, a full set of these as well. We also still have Paul Johnson today after Bronco Mendenhall. And this is just like one of the random things that can happen. But I'm sitting in the back here today, Luke, and Swofford's giving his address. And I was sitting where the TV cameras were. I was like, I'm going to sit down right here on this little stanchion where they have all the TV cameras. Swofford's just going and going, and man, can that guy talk. Sit down next to kind of a guy I just saw out of the corner of my eye with the gray hair, and he's just sitting there relaxed. I look, it's Tommy Bowden.
Oh,
Bobby
wow.
Bowden's son, the coach at Clemson before Dabo. And I just started joking with him a little bit about, you know, how the commissioner can really talk. And I was like, he doesn't really look 70. And Tommy Bowden was like, I think he does his hair. You know, he was just being funny.
Yeah.
Well, I came out, and Drew was like, you know, Freddie Maggard, when Tommy was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky, when Freddie Maggard was the quarterback there, they know each other really well. So I texted Freddie, I was like, Freddie, tell Tommy Bowden he's got to come on with us. So he did. We'll have him for you as well. But hey, I got to tell you guys, he's doing it, man. He's doing it. He just walked right out of here.
And
the SID that's been shepherding him around wasn't paying attention, so I'm hoping that they just messed up there. But, man, I said yesterday, if this happens, I'm going to start bullying Locke. That's my only real recourse.
Of course.
But I'm looking. I just pulled up the schedule one more time. Bronco Mendenhall, 4:25. So we're 13 minutes behind, and he just walked out of here. So there's going to be hell to pay.
Oh, yeah. I think at break time, we might have to go talk to the SID. Or, well, not we, because I'm not there.
I'm not going to let him put his big chubby finger over my name again this year. I see him looking at his phone.
This is bothering you, isn't it?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Like, he's not it's just like, what if I we don't even hate Virginia.
No, there are a lot worse schools than Virginia. Have any,
right. We don't talk about them. But we would if he'd come on the freaking show.
Very true. And I wanted to ask him about his team and his guys, and especially the guys that he brought, because I thought those two were very impressive.
Yeah, and honestly, I really want him to, because I'd like to hear him talk about the changes in culture and get him to talk about, like, from his side. And quite frankly, I'd like to hear from him about Lamar Jackson, because obviously the Virginia defensive player, Chris Meese, he wasn't having that. He didn't want to do that.
No.
He was glad he was gone. I'd like to hear from him about that. But he's got to come on here for us to do that.
Yep. We'll have to wait for another day.
All right. Well, Brian, I tell you what, let's take a break while we clear the air here and wait to see what's going to happen.
Go kick some butt?
Basically. If I come back, you guys may have to set up a GoFundMe for my bail. All right?
We'll get it done. We'll find a way.
All right.
We got
you're listening to The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville out here at ACC football kickoff. We'll be right back.
Talking Louisville sports all year round. You're listening to The Drive with Mark Ennis and Luke Hancock on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis in here in Charlotte for ACC football kickoff. Earlier today, Georgia Tech head coach Paul Johnson, who Louisville plays in week five this year, sat down with both Drew Diener and I. We recorded this a little bit earlier. Joining us now here on ESPN 680, 93.9 The Ville, Georgia Tech head coach Paul Johnson. I was talking to Tommy Bowden back there while the commission was going. Do you get tired of doing these things yet, or is this still fun for you?
Well, it can be fun. I think it is what you make it. You know, you have to have some fun with it.
Drew gets the little headsets here. We're ready begin here. Are you heading into this season? Look, everyone, this is a unique challenge. Everyone I know that we talked to in Louisville fans freaked out about playing Georgia Tech, in particular on 6 days rest. I know Bobby hates 6 days road game, big time. I know you've talked to the league in the past about the way things get scheduled. Your thoughts on getting a road game on 6 days rest, because you guys played the week before too.
Right. Well, not much you can do about it. So one thing I've learned with age, I guess, is try not to worry about things that are out of your control. And certainly we're well aware of what a good job Bobby's done there at Louisville building the program. Of course, he inherited a strong program from Charlie. And I'm sure that on a Friday night in Louisville, it'll be a tough place to play.
You know, it's interesting. College football, there's always new ways of doing things. You've stayed true to what you know. Why has your system endured the test of time?
Well, I think that, one, we understand our system, and I feel like I know it, and I hope that I know how to fix it when things are not going well. But I think that it's sound, and I think that if you can execute and do it correctly, it's hard to defend, and looks like we got a wagon.
I mean, no, I think we're under attack, actually, yeah.
You guys must be heavy eaters down here on Radio Row.
That's like, well, we have the train that goes by the stadium at home, so we do the show, we get the train.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's home environment there. Home.
How have you seen teams, especially the ones that you guys play every year, how have you seen teams sort of change what they do with you, and then how have you sort of developed, I guess, along with it?
Well, I don't think that teams have changed much. I mean, I don't think there is a way to play that's better than others. It's, you know, the old adage, good players beats good plays. And there's no set way to play what we do offensively or whatever, just like there's no set way for us to play what Louisville does offensively. I think that, you try to get a plan to take away maybe the strengths and try to force them to do something that they may not be as good at. And in that night, if they're good at it, then it's not going to look so good. But, we've played teams through the years. We've been running this offense at different places really since 1985. And if there was some secret way to play it, I'm sure.
Somebody'd be rich selling it, right?
Well, for example, I mean, we've struggled with Clemson the last couple of years. And we probably play five other teams that line up exactly like Clemson, but without Clemson's players.
Yeah, so a little different.
A little different, you know.
Talking here with Paul Johnson there, 93rd in the Ville. It's good to see you guys finally. You know, when you're in this division where you play just one rotating team per year, would you propose any changes to the scheduling? Because it almost feels like Louisville and Georgia Tech haven't even been in the same conference, you know.
Yeah, I think it would be important. I would love to see each team play everybody in the league every 4 years. And I think that could be accomplished if you just did away with a rivalry game. Like for us, we play Clemson every year from the Atlantic, and that's fine. And we've had a great rivalry with them. We're close to probably right around 500 with them in the 10 or 11 times we played them. But the fact we'll have kids who come to Georgia Tech Well, this actually, I've been at Georgia Tech. This will be my 11th year, and it's the first time we've played Louisville.
Yeah.
And we'll have kids who come in as a freshman, and they'll never have the opportunity to play a certain amount of teams in the ACC. And that's wrong. I think it would be much better if you could figure out a way to rotate and have two teams each year, and then that way you would get a chance to play everybody in the league in your 4 years in school.
Is there any momentum with that with the other coaches?
I don't think so. I don't think it's a coach thing.
It's eight,
and the way the divisions are divided, you know, the Carolina teams are split so that if North Carolina, North Carolina State in opposite divisions, so they've got to be the rival. You know, the Duke, Wake,
Florida State, Miami.
Right. And what happens to us, really us, Clemson, and I guess Louisville, your in-state rivals in the other league, Florida State as well with Florida. So there's four of us who get caught that way. So there's a lot of metrics that go into the scheduling, I'm sure.
Talking with Paul Johnson here on 93.9 The Ville. You've got a new defensive coordinator this year. What were you looking for when you hit the market for a new coach, and what do you like what you
see
so far?
I wanted to be more aggressive, and I think we need to try to create more negative plays. And I think the offenses are too good today to kind of just kind of sit there. And we had really struggled in tackles for loss and sacks and all those kind of statistics the last few years. And, you know, I just wanted to try something different and see if we couldn't create a little more havoc and create a little more negative plays.
Are there unique challenges for being the defensive coordinator with you? You know, so crazy fast offenses, you know, their coordinators have to do it a certain way. Is there anything unique about that?
I don't think so. I think that if you can play defense, it's a system, and you adapt your system to what you play. And, you know, truthfully, I think being a defensive coordinator for us should be easier. You play 15 to 20 plays a game less, time of possession, those kind of things. So I look back to when I coached at Georgia Southern, when I coached at Navy. Well, Coach, you look at what Navy and Army did this year, Army especially defensively. You can play pretty good defense if you're not on the field.
Talking with Paul Johnson, 93.9 The Ville. How do you think the new kickoff rule, how will you approach the kickoff rule? Will you have a line in the sand where we don't return a kick past this point? Or how do you think you will play that rule?
Well, we've got to sit down and talk about it more as a staff and look at it. But I think it's going to depend on who you have as a returner, how good you are with that team, who you're playing, where do you want to kick the ball, how good are they at returning. All those kind of things will factor in. And I don't know that I'm ready to say, hey, this is a set philosophy on it. You know, I want to evaluate where we are and what we can do, and then we'll go from there.
What do you think the impact on the rule will be, though?
Well, I think at the end of the year they'll have some data and they can go back and look. Sometimes we rush to change rules without any kind of data or anything to support it, and it doesn't accomplish any of the things that we want it to accomplish. So there's a lot of things out there, a lot of talk about the kickoff. I think at the end of the year they'll take a look at it and see if it helped, and if not, there'll probably be some further tweaking.
If there's a unit on the team that you feel like this year, you feel particularly like this could be the strength, this would be the, you know, the group, is there one that sticks out to you?
Well, you never know, but we return nine starters on offense, and you know, we lost one receiver, but the top two guys at every position is back, other than the one receiver. So. Hopefully, our skilled people on offense will have a little more experience and be better players.
Is there a story behind the cover of the media guy? Is this the faceless look? Is there a theme for this, or is this?
I have no idea. They didn't ask me, so.
I didn't know if that was like, you know, there's no one individual you want to promote and it's faceless. So you let them handle all that, huh?
Yeah, they did that. They didn't ask me.
Do you see Bobby? He probably never played a team that has a horse on the cover of its media guide, which Louisville has justified the Triple Crown winner right there. So I'm certain that will be a new thing for you this year.
Yeah, well, if we ever get a Triple Crown winner out of Georgia, we'll put them on.
How have you seen, it seems like Georgia, the state of Georgia for producing players has really exploded. Over the past few years. I mean, did you guys foresee that? Is that strategic reason to want to be there?
I think Georgia's always had great high school football, and we got some really good coaches in the state, and the population's growing like crazy. I mean, if you just look at Metro Atlanta, there's almost 7 million people there. Now, that's a great thing. The other thing is everybody in the country recruits Atlanta. It's easy to get into and easy to get out of. And a lot of the population in Atlanta is transitional. So the kids don't grow up with, you know, hey, I want to go to Georgia Tech or I want to go to Georgia. I mean, they're from all over the country. So, but there are a lot of good football players in the state of Georgia and a lot of good high school coaches.
Are you surprised that more teams haven't tried the offense, the philosophy that you've adopted? Because it's been successful for you. Are you just surprised more teams haven't given it a shot?
I think it may be not, probably not sexy enough for some people, and I think there's a big conceptual problem with it. People don't understand. I mean, you know, 2 years ago we had more 40-yard plays. I think we were second in the country in 40-yard plays, and everybody thinks it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust,
right.
And it's not really set up that way. And I think in our profession sometimes, to the detriment of some people or whatever, guys are so worried about getting the next job, they're afraid to get labeled with, you know, nobody wants to be labeled as an option coach or whatever because they think that stops their ascension. But if you look at what we've been able to accomplish at Georgia Tech, I think I've been there 10 seasons. Six of the 10 years, we've either been first or second in our division, played in three ACC championship games, and I can promise you we don't have the budget or the facilities that some of the people do. And you look at what the Naval Academy's been able to accomplish, what we did at Georgia Southern, University of Hawaii. It's been good for me. I've been very fortunate, and you know, we've had a lot of success running the offense.
Let me get you out on this then, because you say all those huge 40-yard plays. What's the mistake teams make? What generally leads to that? Is it over focusing on one aspect of it, or what generally leads to it?
The nature of the offense, you just spread people out, and if you can hit seams and a lot of one-on-ones, if you win those one-on-ones, there's nobody else there because you had to play, you know, three or four different facets of the offense, and you know, one guy misses the tackle or you get a guy knocked down on the ground, it's a long way till the next guy.
Coach Johnson, we appreciate you making time for us here. Enjoy the rest of your stay here.
Okay. Thanks,
thank you,
guys.
Ever wanted to be behind the wheel of a UPS package car? Here's your opportunity to get your foot in the door. UPS is hiring for its preload operations in Louisville. As a preloader, you'll help our drivers load their vehicles and get packages on the road and out for delivery. You'll also be able to bid on package car driver job opportunities. If you're looking for a part-time job and career opportunities, we've got a job for you. Are you ready to get on the road? Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com. Are you ready to get behind the wheel of a UPS tractor trailer? Seasonal tractor trailer drivers can earn $32 an hour. Drivers must be at least 21 years of age, have a Class A CDL with T endorsement, 2 years of tractor trailer experience, and be able to drive a standard transmission. As a driver, you could participate in team driving, in-town runs, or help at a local UPS facility. Are you ready to get on the road? Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.